morning is entitled A School for Wives, but I'm glad that all the men are here to attend it this morning, because our message is to both husbands and wives. Why are we here this morning in this particular subject? We're just going to look at one little part of one verse today. And that is in verse 4, where it says that the older women of the church are to teach the younger women to love their own husbands, or to love their husbands. As we studied verses 3 and 4 of Titus chapter 2, we have found within these verses of Scripture that God has a specific ministry for older women in the church, to younger women, both to the married and unmarried younger women in the church. We began to set this program in operation last Tuesday here in our women's Bible study, and we're going to work to that end more and more, making it possible for the older women and younger women of the church to counsel together in certain areas of life, sharing with them the experiences and blessings that God has given to you, giving them advice about some of the pitfalls that are in life. I believe that this can be a marvelous ministry among women. As I shared with you last week, God gave to me a commission as pastor to teach every member of the congregation. He said, teach the older men as fathers, teach the young men as brothers, teach the older women as mothers, and teach the younger women as sisters. But there are certain things that a man can't talk to his sister about, because he's never been a woman, he's never been a girl. And so there's a specific, unique ministry that women can have to women. And God has commissioned older women to this ministry, and we're making this possible in our church. And I hope that you'll join us on Tuesday morning if you can, and become a part of this program. I think it's very important to recognize that as we engage in any kind of ministry of teaching and correcting others, that we do so totally in humility and in yieldedness to the Holy Spirit of God. And so he said there are qualifications for an older woman who would be used in this way. She must be one who has a godly appearance and example. She must be one who knows how to control her tongue. She must be one who is not given to wine and liquor. And she must be one who knows how to teach good things. There's a great emphasis today that we need to teach people about evil by exposing them to evil. But all through the Old and New Testament, the Bible says the greatest method of teaching and the greatest means of bringing people to righteousness is to expose them to righteousness. And so in verse 3, notice what he said. Verse 3, I was looking in chapter 4, 3 for a moment. In verse 3, he said, you older women are to be teachers of good things, sharing with these younger women in the church the great things that God has done in your life and the great things that God can do for them. Now then in verse 4, he said, not only are you to be teachers of good things, but you are to be trainers of the younger women. And that's the word sophronizo. It's different than the word back up there in chapter 3. And this means to be a guide, a disciplinarian, to be one who brings people into line, one who corrects those who are going astray. It's a word that would be used about a sergeant in the army, one who gives command to the troops, the one who says, halt, stop, about face, eyes right, eyes left. And so he says that older women, as you see younger women in the church making mistakes or doing things that perhaps could be harmful and detrimental to their lives, you who are older in the faith, reach out to those younger women. Don't hesitate. But in a spirit of love, kindness, humility, and meekness, reach out to those younger women and share with them the glorious things that God's Word has to say about those things. Don't just stand there and watch them walk off the cliff. Don't just sit there and let them go into some terrible problem or trouble or trial, but have the courage in God to reach out and bring them about and guide them back into the place where they ought to be. Yes, it's a marvelous ministry that belongs to you, ladies, And as a pastor today, I'm going to encourage you again, as I did last week, to get busy in this kind of ministry for God. How the church needs it today. But remember, the Bible says that when you do find somebody who's going astray, you don't look upon it as with glee and with joy. You don't say, aha, here is someone that I can exercise my authority over. Here is someone that I can begin to correct. Ah, no. The Word of God says, when you see someone overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, go to that person, not with the idea of rebuke and putting them down, but with the idea of what? Restoration. Galatians chapter 6 is what I'm talking about. Verse 1. Going to them in a spirit of meekness and kindness. Going to that young woman and saying, I've seen some things in your life that I know can bring problems. I've had experiences that I could share with you. I talk to other women, and it's because I love you that I am compelled to sit down and share with you the dangers that you are walking into. Because I want the very best in life for you, because I love you in the Lord. You see, that's the attitude and spirit with which we come. Not self-righteously, not up here speaking down to someone down here. Considering thyself also, the Bible says, what? Lest thou too be tempted. Lest thou too be tempted. And so we need to come in a Christian spirit, but yet we should not be afraid of engaging in these ministries as we see a need become apparent. One of the things we talked to the ladies about Tuesday is this. How can we begin to set up a program like this? Because it's very awkward, isn't it? Some of the younger women are a little bit hesitant to go to an older lady and say, I have some things I'd like to ask your advice about. We ought not to be that way, but we are, aren't we? And some of the older women are a little bit hesitant to go to a younger woman and say, dear, I notice you're making a mistake, you see. And so what we decided to do, first of all, is to have people send in anonymous questions, which some of the ladies will then talk about in class. And then after class, time will be made available for one-to-one conversations about these spiritual things. I believe that this is in accordance with the Word of God, and I'm excited about it. I'm not going to be in the class when the women talk in these areas. I'm going to give my Bible study time, and I'm going to be dismissed, and then the last part of the class will belong to the ladies. The older ladies and the younger ladies fellowshipping together. I believe one of the great mistakes we many times make, and I'm not against age group classes, but I believe it's tragic that sometimes we completely segment the church and fragment it so that the older people and the younger people are always separated in little cubicles here and there. When the Word of God says there ought to be an interaction and relationship between every age group of the church. Believe that? I do. And I believe that this is exciting when we think about it. All right, now listen. Let's go on now and learn. Let's talk about the first thing. The Bible says here that we are to teach them how to love their husbands. And it's the word phileo and andros. And it's the word teach them how to build up a human love and relationship with their husbands. Yes, love is something that can be learned. I believe that the Bible teaches us that there is not a man alive that cannot be loved. I want to say that to you again, ladies. I believe that biblically speaking, you can learn to love any husband. And I believe that you can learn to love any wife. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that God has laid down in His Word principles that will build love. And these are the things that the older women can teach the younger women about. You can teach them the things that will produce love in their heart toward their husbands. You say, Pastor, after all, isn't this kind of silly? We're all Christians here today, and all of us who are husbands and wives, we're all deeply in love with one another, aren't we? Well, I hope that this is true. But if I'm honest, I would have to say that even in a congregation like this, that it is possible that there are husbands and wives who are not in love. Because, you see, if love does not grow, it dies. And I mentioned to you last week that love is not something that most of us really know a whole lot about even when we get married. There is an infatuation and an attraction that brings us together.
But as we live together and grow together in love, we develop a love that goes far beyond that which we knew anything about when we first began as man and wife. Now that's the way it ought to be. And yet many times I have talked to couples where there has been bickering and problem and strife and trouble in the home, and both husband and wife have said, I no longer love them. I don't love her anymore. And she says, I don't love him. And I've said over and over to those couples, but praise God, you can love each other again. And I've counseled with couples where this has been the case, and I've seen love bloom again even better than it was before. Did you know that? I've seen it happen. I've also seen people not willing to even look at the principles of the Word of God and give them a try, and then I've seen those homes eventually break up. And so there's a great need that we might teach one another and that we might teach each other about love according to the principles of the Word of God. First of all, what is love? Oh, my. The philosophers have thrown that one around for years, haven't they? Well, I'll have an answer for you. God is love. Now, that's the simplest definition of love that I know of. God is love. That's what the Bible says in 1 John. Now, the Bible tells us that God loves us, and that when we in turn respond to God's love and receive His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior, that we then are able to love God. Now, what is the greatest expression of your love for God, toward God? The greatest expression of your love toward God is doing what He wants you to do. The first commandment, the greatest of all commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy soul. And the second is like unto it then. Thou shalt love thy fellow man as thyself. But the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart and soul. Now, how do you do that? How do you develop a love between you and God? By pleasing God. He said, you are, if you love me, what? You will keep my commandments. Now, why does keeping the commandments of God produce love in your life for God? Because, you see, in keeping His commandments, you naturally are wanting to know all you can about Him, so that you can please Him in every area of your life. The Apostle Paul was excited about pleasing God. He wanted to be totally committed to God. And so the Apostle Paul said, my whole life is committed to learning about God. The more I can know about God, the greater is my love for Him. Because the more things that I know about Him that please Him, and the more things that I can please Him in, the greater my love relationship becomes. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You are my friends, what? If you do whatsoever I command you. Do you love the Lord this morning? Then keep His commandments. Learn about Him. Study about Him. And the more you know about Him, the more you'll love about Him. And the more you love Him, the more you'll want to please Him. Loving God is pleasing God. You see what I'm saying? Loving God is pleasing God. And loving a wife and loving a husband is pleasing that person. Learning all you can about them. And doing everything that you can to please them in every way. It means being willing to cook and eat rutabagas if that's what he likes. It means eating scorched potatoes with a smile on your face. If that's what it takes. It means learning and studying one another with the object in mind that I want to know as much as I can about them, because he's my husband and she's my wife, and I want to do the things that please her and make her happy. And that please him and make him happy. And you know, In other words, it's wanting their joy and their pleasure more than your own. That's learning to love. You say, Pastor, can you really love somebody that you don't love at all? Yes, the Bible is full of stories like that. Look at Isaac and Sarah. Were they in love? Why, they were so much in love that they were, why, the king of Egypt looked out the window and he saw them holding hands and there they were, an old married couple, and they were just holding hands, and he had his arm around Sarah, and the king said, oh my word, I thought she was his sister. I was going to marry her, and look how he's acting. And finally Isaac had to say, well, yes, she's my wife. How did he know? Because it was obvious that they loved each other. Now, how did they meet? I'll tell you how they met. Abraham sent his servant Eliezer off across the world to find a bride for Isaac. And off they came one day, and Isaac was waiting back at home, and all of a sudden one day, off across the field, he looked and he saw a big caravan, and right at the head of that caravan was his dad's best Cadillac. And he said, she's come. She's come. And the Bible says that Isaac ran across the field to meet her. He'd never met her before. Never seen her. And she looked off and she saw him coming. She said, Eliezer, who's that man that's running to meet me? Meet us. And he said, that's Isaac. And she got off the camel and she fixed her hair and she put the veil over her face and she ran to meet him. And they met each other for the first time. And the Bible says he took her for his wife, and then they loved each other. And that love grew and grew through the years. Now, they made some mistakes. You can read about those too. But they had a love. Where did that love come from? It came from God. The application of Bible principles produces love. Now, what can we learn about love? What can you teach a woman or a man about love? Well, first of all, the Bible says that we ought to remember that first and foremost, in marriage, we are to consider ourselves as there primarily not to receive for ourselves, but to be a blessing to the other person. Every wife, every husband ought to see that it is their main business in life to be a blessing to their husband. The Bible says to us in Proverbs chapter 12, let me read to you what it says there about wives. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness in his bones. And so the Bible says that the right kind of a wife is a wife who is a blessing to her husband. She is an encouragement to him in every way. There are times when he needs to be told about his faults, but a wise wife and a good wife does not major on his faults, but she majors on the ministry of encouragement to him. And in every way that she can, she seeks to encourage her husband. Even when he's ornery, even when he deserves otherwise, she determines in her heart, I'm going to be a blessing to this man. By the grace of God, I'm going to see that my role is to be a blessing to him. And men, the same thing is true for you. You learn to love your wife as you consider that your chief responsibility in life is to be a blessing, a spiritual and material and physical blessing to your wife. You see, the Bible tells us that there in the Garden of Eden, that when man was alone, he was lonely and lost and unfulfilled. And God said, I'm going to make a helper who fits him in every way. She will have all of the things that he needs, that he's lacking. She will meet his spiritual needs. She will fit him spiritually. She will fit him emotionally. And she will fit him in a physical way. And she will meet entirely, totally, and completely everything that is lacking in him. And together they will become one whole unit. So that as each of them gives themselves to the other totally and completely and sees their role as providing that which is lacking in the other person, they become a tremendous source of blessing and encouragement to one another. And you husbands this morning,
God has not set you there to rule that wife and to make her your servant, but God has placed you in that home to bless her. The Bible says, wives, in Proverbs 18, the man who finds a good wife finds a great thing, or a good thing. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Whoso findeth, and there's a poor translation there, because there are wives that are not blessings, and there are husbands that are not blessings. By the way, folks, I'm preaching this sermon today. It's about what Titus said, teach the wives how to love their husbands. But I'm going to tell you men how to love your wives too, because I want you to know this, that here's the one verse in the Bible in Titus that says you're supposed to teach the women how to love their husbands. But there's about five in Ephesians and at least two in Colossians that say that the husbands need to learn how to love their wives. And so you men can't sit here this morning and look at the women and say, it's all your fault. The Bible speaks from this to this subject from both directions. But dear ladies, notice what God says about you. The man who finds a good wife finds a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord, from the Lord. You are a blessing from God to that man to whom you were married. I want you to ask yourself the question this morning. Every wife that's here, am I a blessing? Could he conceivably consider me a blessing in his life? I ask each one of you as husbands today to make this evaluation right now. Am I a blessing to her? Is she blessed by my presence? Is she blessed by my life? The way I come in, the things I say, do I seek to lift her up or do I seek to tear her down? Now you see, the Bible goes on and tells us that another thing about love is the fact that love, and one of the basic elements of love is this area of trust. And the Bible teaches us that it's necessary that women and men both understand that in order for love to grow and to develop, there must be the ability to trust one another. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 31. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her value is above everything else. The Bible says a virtuous woman is worth more than anything that can be found in all of the world. And man, if you have a wife that you can trust in this morning, you have the most precious possession that anyone can have. If you women today have a husband that you can trust in, you have the most precious possession that can be found. Notice what it says. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Oh, the Word of God says that you learn to love your husband by being the kind of wife that promotes and inspires him to trust in you completely and explicitly. Not just in the area of moral fidelity and faithfulness, although that is most important. We need to recognize that this is basic and fundamental to a proper love. That when we stand before God and man and we say we will keep ourselves only to one another, that's exactly the standard that God has set up for marriage. And we need to be able to trust one another here. Because a marriage without trust becomes almost an impossibility. Trust is one of the basic foundations of love. But it means not just trust in this area, but trust in every area. He can trust her to be truthful and to be open, to not keep secrets from him, to not talk to the children behind his back,
to not telling that she broke something, but to be able to share every area of her life so that he never accidentally discovers that there's an account here or there was something over here that he never knew about. And the same goes for you, men. God hasn't put you on a pedestal. I've had women say to me, you know, he went down and signed us up at the finance company and I didn't know anything about it. The Bible says that true love can grow and build when a wife and husband come together in total honesty and they share with one another their entire lives. And they each are able to, without hesitation, trust the other person. Ladies, can your husband trust you? Husbands, can your wives trust you? Mr. Miles, when he was here, made a point that I think is very valid. He said, you know, there are a lot of folks who like to play on this business of trust. And they'll say, the other partner, well, they won't know where they are, or they don't like to say what they're doing. And so they'll say, well, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? And Mr. Miles said something that I believe is true. Whenever somebody shouts that loud enough, I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious. You know that? Of course we ought to trust one another, and we do trust one another, and trust in each other is what love grows on and builds on. But we ought to, each one of us, do everything we can to make it easy for the other person to trust us. You see, that builds love. A man said to me, well, after all, I'd go out in the evening. I don't feel like I should have to tell my wife where I go. I stay out and I come back and I'm not doing anything I ought not to do, but I just don't feel like I should tell her every place I'm going. She ought to trust me. And I said to this man, well, how would you like it if she did the same? Oh. Oh. Oh, well, I like to know where she is. You know, I find that the best thing in marriage is to just keep each other just as informed as you possibly can. When I go away on a trip or when I'm going to be gone for the day, I like to say to Joyce, honey, I'm going to be here and I'm going to be here and I'm going to be there. And when I go away on a trip, the first thing I like to do when I get there is pick up the phone and say, I got here. And then I like to pick it up the next night and say, this is going on. I like to keep in touch, don't I, honey? I couldn't stand it. I finally called from Puerto Rico. I want to call home. I want to be in touch. I just love sharing my whole life with her. Let me say this. You see, there's values to this. Supposing an emergency comes up. Supposing some problem comes and that wife needs you. I've spent many times down in a hospital room with a husband or more times with a wife when an emergency has come up. A child is sick. Someone is in desperate need and the husband is somewhere and he hasn't left word. And we wait there until we can finally reach them. And in that hour when she needs him most, he can't be contacted. Oh, no. If we love someone, we're going to do everything we possibly can to make it absolutely easy for them to trust us, because trust is the foundation of love. You believe that? It is. It is. And then the next thing that we notice here in this is not only is he able to have confidence, not only are we to teach wives how important it is to make themselves trustworthy in every area of their life, but she is to be loyal to him. And her loyalty will build love in her heart toward him. Notice what it says in verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She won't talk about his faults to other people. She won't spread around his shortcomings to the neighborhood. And he won't spread hers around. But rather, she will protect his name and he will protect her name. And there will be total loyalty between them. And this is never so important as it is inside the home. The mother doing all she can to cause those children to love and respect their father, and the father doing all he can to cause those children to love and respect their mother. You know, I know some husbands who do everything they can to put their wives down and to make them look small. Did you know that? Have you ever been embarrassed in public by someone who just goes out of his way to say, to make his wife feel like she's an incompetent, bumbling fool? I've seen it. Folks, that's not loyalty, and that never builds love in your heart. And it won't build love back in the other direction. We ought to be the kind of husbands that encourage our wives and protect them publicly. We ought to be the kind of wives that encourage our husbands privately and protect them publicly. You know that? Did you ever hear this kind of a thing? A man starts to say something, says, you know, I'd like to tell you about something, and before he gets halfway down the road, his wife will say, no, honey, that's not the way it happened at all. And she makes him look like a bumbling idiot, or a prevaricator, or whatever you might call it, in front of a whole group of people. You ever see that happen? Or a husband doing the same thing. Well, listen, folks, the place to talk over those things is at home. Loyalty, doing him good, and not evil, all the days of his life. These are little practical things we're talking about today, aren't they? But are they important? I'll say they are. That's why God put them in the book. That's why they're here. The next thing we notice, she brings him honor. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. If she loves him, and one of the ways to increase his and decrease in your love for your husband is to seek in every way you can to enhance his position before the community. To be the kind of wife that encourages him by your actions and your attitude before the public. To walk and act and dress in such a way that you are an asset to his position wherever you go together. That's what this is talking about. Have you ever seen a man whose wife was an embarrassment to his position? I think Mr. Mitchell would be interested in this verse. I'm talking about John Mitchell, not somebody in our congregation. I use that as an illustrative of what I'm talking about. I think Martha was right. I'm not going to go into that, but her eccentric behavior was far below that which belonged to the office of the Attorney General. And wives, you love your husbands and you learn to love them, the Word of God says. And this is one of the important areas of your life and your ministry. And then the Bible says in verse 26, one of the great ministries in loving a man is to have the opportunity to share with him the wisdom that he needs. Oh, I like that, verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. What a blessing it is for a man to have a wife who has given herself to a study of the Word of God, a wife who loves the Lord, a wife who is yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, and a wife who has the wisdom of God to share with her husband at the right time and in the right moments. How I thank God for a godly Christian woman who shares with me the wise counsels that God has given to her heart and life. You are not a lord and master husband who cannot learn something from your wife. In fact, in some cases, your wives are more intelligent than you. That does not take away your leadership. It is in our case. My wife is the smartest in the family. She always got the best grades. And wouldn't it be ridiculous for me, as a minister and as a husband in the home, to take the foolish attitude, well, I'm the leader here, and you have nothing to say of value as far as counsel and wisdom. Listen to me, men. These women are equals in the family of God with you. And the Spirit of God ministers spiritual truth to them just as much as He does to you. And what a joy it is to have a wife who is in the Word of God and who loves the Word of God, who can share with us the wisdom of God's Word. And ladies, here again, you learn to love that husband by learning and loving the Word of God and then sharing it with him at the opportune time. Now, men are stubborn and they're proud. And they don't need this every day. And oftentimes don't receive it every day. But there are those times when if their heart is right, and your heart is right, when God can give to you a great ministry of sharing together the wisdom of the Word of God. The last thing, ladies, the Bible says that if a woman learns to do these things that God's Word says she ought to do toward that husband, no matter who he is or how he acts. Ladies, if you begin to apply these principles, the Bible says that there are things that will accrue back to you because love begets love. Did you know that? And I like what we find in verses 27 through 31. Read it with me, if you will. And it is this, that a woman who learns to love her husband is loved in turn by her husband. That's exciting, isn't it? That's great. That's thrilling. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Let me ask you, man, husband, how long has it been since you said a praise, a kind word to your wife? When's the last time you praised her for something? When's the last time you criticized her? There's one thing I didn't mention, this business of loyalty. I want to mention it because it's important. Then I'll go back to this one here. You know one of the greatest mistakes that you can make in any marriage in reference to loyalty? It's the thing that I find has killed love faster in homes than almost any other thing. It's this. When you manifest such a lack of loyalty in the home that you bring up other people with whom you compare your spouse. You say to your wife, why can't you keep house like Mrs. Jones does? Why can't you dress the children as nice as Mrs. Smith does? Or the wife says to the husband, why don't you act like Charlie Brown? I picked the wrong name. I'm sorry. You see, that's not loyalty. And all that does, oh, never compare with someone else. Ladies, you don't know the problems that the Browns are having. You don't know the troubles, Mr. Husband, that the Jones are having. And don't you compare that wife of yours and bring up other people to her. Women, don't you bring up other men. I heard a little bickering thing on the radio one day. This family called the Bickersons were arguing, and she said, why don't you do like Mr. Jones does? And he said, well, what is that? He said, he gives his wife a kiss every morning. He says, call her up. I'll be right over. You see, that only produces bickering. It only produces strife. It only produces anger. It's disloyalty. Praise one another. I once worked with a man, and this man was a tremendous worker, but he never developed other people. I said to him one day, "You know, I've noticed one thing about you. You never encourage anybody. You always just point out the mistakes we've made." He said, "That's right," because he said, "I found that if you praise people, then pretty soon they'll slow down." And so he said, "I never praise anybody." I said, "Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. The Bible says that there's a time to praise people. And the Bible says that a proper reaction of a husband is to praise in his wife the great qualities that he sees. And to tell her about them. Ladies, you learn to love that husband. And if he's a man of God, he'll learn to love you. And he'll praise you. The Bible says that a woman who loves her husband in a biblical way, the natural response of that kind of love will be a return back to her. Her husband will bless her. Her children will praise her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, the love that you want is the kind of love that reaches beyond the bloom and beauty of youth. The kind of love that reaches into the later years of life when the wrinkles and the scars have come. Before I was married, I was visiting one day in my wife's home. And there was an old couple that were up in their 80s. And he was wrinkled and homely and funny looking. And she was wrinkled and fat and dumpy and funny looking. Nicely dressed, but you know, she didn't have any kind of a worldly appeal. But the thing that impressed me is they were sitting side by side on the couch with their hands clasping one another and looking at one another with real love and admiration. And that impressed me as a young boy. That's Bible love, isn't it? And it really can happen. It does happen. When we live by the book, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman who feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Ladies, do you want to be loved? Then get out the Word of God and learn to love according to the Bible. When you're old and gray and wrinkled, there'll be a host of people who will consider you the most beautiful person on earth. Give her of the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. Did you look up that verse in 1 Timothy? That's the one we're coming to next week. I mentioned to you that there's a verse in the Bible that says that the women are to rule the household or in the household. How many of you ladies found that? Nobody will admit it. You look it up this week. It's 1 Timothy chapter 5. I won't tell you exactly where it is, but it's about the middle of the chapter. Men, I think this is an important verse. Because you see, there are many men who think that their wife is to be nothing more than a servant in the home. They think that they're to run the kitchen and and every other thing about the house. And God's Word says just the opposite. The Bible says there's a domain that belongs to the husband and there's a domain that belongs to the wife. I'm going to preach to you about it next Sunday. Don't go off with any half-cocked ideas that I'm saying that the man isn't the head of the house. He is. And he is to rule the house according to the Word of God. But the Bible has also given a domain in the home to the wife. And many men have never seen this, and you need to know it, men. Next week, we'll continue on with our school for wives and husbands. How to love your children.
This message has been brought to you by the Santa Rosa Bible Church. Our mission is to see the lost reached and believers transformed by Jesus. You can find out more information about us at our website at srbible.org. Or you can visit us in person at 4575 Badger Road in Santa Rosa, California. You can also reach us by phone at 707-538-2385.